Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I know I'm not the only one who didn't see this coming, Alan. The Caps roll in fresh off one of their most convincing wins of the season, certainly in a long time. The Ducks had lost 8 of 9. They had lost 20 of 23. I know there's a new coach, all that. But to get really manhandled in a 5-2 loss was stunning to me.
It is, but when we look back at how guys play against certain teams and where their point totals are and then what teams' point totals are against other teams, there are those matchups. And this is one of those games where you're kind of apprehensive. You hope it doesn't happen. But
those numbers were in the Ducks were good.
But the Ducks also beat the Caps 6-5 in Capital One Arena earlier in the season. I think in late November, early December. And the Caps played an easy game that night. The Ducks played a hard game and got to the front of the net and crashed and banged. And they kind of imposed their will on the Caps that night. And I thought the Caps, if we went back to the podcast on that one, I thought they were lazy and soft that night. They wanted to play a fun game. And, you know,
well, they got a 5-1 in that game. It was fun for a while.
Well, that's what I mean. It was soft and things weren't going. And all of a sudden the Ducks got pissed off. They came out and they made the middle of the ice their own. And, I wanted to say something else, but they made the Caps that night. But they dominated in front of that. If I look back, every goal was scored net front traffic and tips and rebounds and all of it. And then tonight, you know, I saw that first game they played under the general manager, who's now their head coach for the rest of the season, interim. And Getzlaf gets in a fight in the first few minutes of the game. Their captain just grabs someone and, you know, Corey Perry's up to his same old bullshit, you know. And they looked a little bit different. Then they go back to Boston, the next game they play, and they look kind of the same again, you know, where they look big and slow. And then tonight, I think they pulled a fast one on the Capitals. And I think the Capitals got caught up in that. But one of the things you always hate to see when you're a coach, say Todd Reirden, you see the other team fire their coach when you're going in to play against those guys. And that makes for a tough night. And I feel like it always happens to the Caps where they're the other team's coach and they're all fired up to play and, you know, they turn it around. And next thing you know, like St. Louis, they fire their coach, the Caps go in there and St. Louis kicks the Caps' ass. They come a week later, kick the Caps' ass, and next thing you know, they're like the hottest and best team in the NHL.
And then, Billy, there's also this. TJ Oshie leaves the game in the second period. Upper body injury is all we know, but he did not return.
Yeah, Oshie's, that's a problem. That's going to be an issue if he's going to be out for a little while. We don't know, and we don't know what the injury is, but, you know.
It always scares us no matter what. When it says upper body with TJ Oshie, it scares the hell out of you.
We know what the injury wasn't.
Right, and I'll just say this. This team is different when he's not in the lineup because it affects the power play so greatly. So if he has to miss an extended period of time, obviously not good for this road trip and certainly not good for a playoff push.
Caps lose 5-2. I'm Rob Carlin. The Capitals Talk podcast starts now.
To the corner for Orlov with 10 seconds left. Dmitry Orlov there to play. There have not been very many wins for Anaheim faithful to celebrate this season. They will enjoy this Sunday night very much. A 5-2 victory over the defending champs.
Well, let's just start with the TJ Oshie injury because we did find a hit from Corey Perry in the first period, and it was such a typical bullshit Corey Perry dirty play, late and high hit that rocked Oshie. And that was not the hit. The Caps have said it is not a head injury. It's an upper body injury is all we got from them. But that was not the hit because that happened in the first period. He didn't leave until the second period. But, Alan, as you watch that hit, and when we all know Corey Perry somehow has mastered this, this dude's been doing it his whole career, and he seems to get away with late high hits like what he hit on TJ Oshie tonight.
Well, you know what? I've said he's been doing this accidentally on purpose, garbage forever, and he always comes up giving you the little Eddie Haskell look, like who, me, what happened, and he's taking guys' knees out. He hits guys from behind. He falls on goaltenders on the one goal. He somehow just steps on a banana peel. On the Tom Wilson penalty, He kind of rides Tom Wilson, pushes him into the goaltender, pushes his feet out, and then waits a second, and then elbow drives or elbow smashes Wilson in the neck. And I wish Wilson would have got up and just beat the living shit out of him and just pounded him into oblivion. And while they're still fighting in hockey, take advantage of it while you can. And he definitely deserved it on that. And then you just see him do so many garbage things. And on the Oshie thing, we had to go back to a back camera to find that late. I thought it was a late hit. He does, once again, it's a head. It's a up high. It's a head shot. He did get hit in the head on that. They're saying not a concussion. He takes head, chest, whatever you want, but he's unsuspecting, and it's typical of him. And the angles that we had on it, it looks malicious and typical Corey Perry, but he's been skating on this garbage forever, and the league lets him get away with it.
I, too, wish Tom Wilson had beaten Corey Perry back to Bolivian or whatever.
Back to Bolivia?
Back to Bolivia.
That's, when he said it, I immediately looked over at you, like, are we going to let the Tyson line go here?
Knock him into Bolivia?
Yeah. Yes.
Question.
Yes.
If you had the choice to squish Corey Perry or Brad Marchand, who would you choose?
Ooh, I'm going Corey Perry on this. I've seen him do too much, too many things that he's gotten away.
That's a good one.
Like, when you look at Marchand, he does, like, these blatant things.
I'm talking about the Thor hammer, just go.
It's Corey Perry for me, because I've seen him do way too many things over the years. The falling down and taking the knee out and looking the other way and just nailing a guy.
Marchand usually gets caught for
stuff,
right?
He's so blatant, yeah.
Right, so you know when he does it, right? You want to punch him in the face because he kisses and licks and
you can tell when he does it because he'll look at it, the guy, and laugh at him and talk smack. And then Corey Perry does
Perry somehow skates under the radar.
He looks at the ref and who, me, what. And, you know, he tries to give that innocent look. But to me, this guy's, what, 30 years old now or however old? And it can't always be an accident when it's the same guy standing at the crime with a knife in his hand.
However, that is a tough question because...
Food for thought.
Yeah, no, Brad Marchand, if Tom Wilson beat the living bejesus out of Brad
Marchand... Because I feel like
we've
had this exact conversation, just replace Corey Perry's name with...
Corey Perry's 33 years old.
But
almost,
again, Corey Perry
34.
Gets away with these things.
And
Brad Marchand's usually
been doing it since he was like 20 or 21 in the NASCAR.
Because he skates away with his hands behind his back, whistling.
He did nothing. Brad Marchand has hardly the same amount. He's an angel compared to Corey Perry in my book.
There's a lot of people that have said that around hockey.
Well, we don't get to see Corey Perry as much. Marchand is more on our radar.
Like every game, you can't go back and just put the ISO cam and say, well, didn't do nothing tonight. But when he does something, it's dumb as hell. But Corey Perry does this every game. He does this garbage every period of every game, I feel like. And he's been getting away with it. And I think in my era, it had been taken care of, and I don't know if he'd be playing at 33 years old.
I thought it was interesting and rather stupid. The Ducks tweeted out after the
Tom Wilson doing Tom Wilson things.
Well, yeah. They're retaliating. Yeah, the Caps don't go that way with their Twitter, but it'd be too easy to go get a compilation of all the things that Perry does. And you could just take the elbow smash to Wilson tonight while he's defenseless on the ice. That hit on Oshie, and then the hit on Oshie.
Grant Paulson tweeted back at the Ducks that same thing. Like, you've got Corey Perry on your roster.
Yeah. And a lot of other people did that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who's the most hated player in the league then?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ryan Kessler is one of them.
And still?
And he was quiet.
He's not as important anymore, though.
Nah, but he's been doing that, and he's been hurt this year. But
I loved him.
He did something earlier tonight, but Wilson gave him a shot. He didn't look at him. Then he turned around and went and gave Verana a shot, and then he wouldn't turn around in case Wilson was coming. And, you know, he's looking to fight a Verana or a Backstrom or guys like that. He's not going to fight a Tom Wilson type.
Yeah, you got Uncle Leo. He's always good for that. Roussel, I know he's a big fan of you. You're a big fan of his.
I saw him doing his garbage last night again. Same type of... And he's blatant every game. But he's just dumb. He's just dumb as hell when it comes to the things he does. It's just so obvious. And he argues it every time, but it's like...
Reeves is making a upward trend up that chart.
Reeves is just a tough guy, though.
Yeah, he's super tough, and he plays the game. He plays the game the same way every night. He goes as hard as he can.
I don't think Reeves
is... He's not in that list. He's not dirty.
I don't think he's dirty.
He's tough.
No, but you're talking about players that people hate.
Oh, okay. Well, then Tom Wilson's on that list. Tom Wilson's on that list.
Not my list, but sure.
Right, 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 right.
He's more reputation. When people say garbage in the arenas, you go in. Has he ever done anything to Detroit? And people are saying there, if he makes one hit in Detroit, all of a sudden everyone in Detroit's tweeting that, oh, there's Tom Wilson doing, and I just hate that, Wilson doing Wilson things. Just shut the I'm trying to be a nicer guy.
Right, I'm just shocked that the team did that. Like, that's a team-related.
Well, look, LA's been doing things like that. Vegas does things like that. So it's kind of, I don't know.
Like direct shots like that at another player?
Yeah, it's like a West Coast thing.
I feel like it's more of like a bigger, like,
and I also feel like when
actually,
they
if the
it,
teams were so, smart, they'd all do it.
Yeah,
and they'd just be
I
at
agree.
War all the time.
I think it'd be funny. I think when the Kings do it, and even in Vegas, there's sort of a wink to it. There's a
right. They do like sort of big picture. They don't call out a guy for a specific.
Yeah, even
play,
if
do they
do, there's
Toronto.
Always,
everyone. Yeah. Toronto.
What?
I hate everyone in Toronto.
Yeah, no, I was like, did the record just scratch? What just happened?
How do we get this back to this?
His brain just stopped.
I'm just looking at the sheet, like all the different teams.
Alan just had a stroke in the middle of a set.
No, I'm looking at all
Toronto everything.
All the players. I'm just looking at all the different teams here.
Oh,
I'm
so thinking, you were going back to the most hated.
Yeah, I'm going back in this, and I'm just thinking there's guys in every team. Like Jeff Skinner's a guy that I've always seen do stupid things, and he's a concussion guy, and you know, if someone ever just reacts and pops him in the lid, he's done. And he's chasing Ovi for goals right now.
Kadri.
Yep.
Kadri's on that list for sure.
Yep. Well, yep. Send in your list, everybody. Let us know what you think.
I'd be curious. Caps fans are just going to say Crosby.
Philly's
right?
Got Gudas. And Crosby.
But Caps fan.
Crosby's sensational.
I think
he was phenomenal
list.
The last 2 days.
Well, are you asking the most hated or the...
No, they got the douchebaggery stuff.
The douchebaggery?
This is the douchebaggery division.
The douchebaggery division is definitely Marchand.
So you got Gudas on there, the way he plays.
Yeah.
The late hits, the elbow smash to the back of the head. Florida's got Michael Haley. The Rangers, I don't think they have anyone right now. And like Philly, to only have one guy that's hateable is really weird.
I wouldn't put him on the list. I think some people don't like the way Simmons plays.
Yeah, but I don't think he's hateable.
I don't.
I think people love it because he's all in every game on every shift.
I would
like he
love
tries
to have a guy like him.
He's not the most talented player, but he gets results. And you know what? I think he's stressed out right now from hearing all these trade rumors, but. Man, I wanted that guy in the Caps for years just because he goes so hard every game. He's an intense guy.
Would you put PK on that list?
PK doesn't do enough for him. He's kind of a showboat. New York Rangers got nothing right now. New Jersey's got Blake Coleman, who's kind of getting... And Wilson tuned him up, what was it, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yep.
And I loved it. And after he fought Burakovsky, Detroit's got nothing. Ottawa, who do they get a couple? Zach Smith has kind of been one of those guys.
Now we're just kind of searching for a guy.
Well, that's why we're asking. We said on all the teams. But
this
you
is
gotta,
better than talking about a 5-2 loss to Anaheim.
Hey, man.
We're doing the locker, Joe B, where they go in the vaudeville comedy act when the Caps are getting punked.
Kachuk, you put him on that list?
Oh, both of those guys, yeah.
Yeah, he's moving up pretty quickly. Yeah, it's this is a fun little game here.
San
How many
Jose's
guys
got
can
no
you hate?
Who's Calgary got? Calgary got Kachuk and someone else. No one else there. Dallas has no one anymore. Minnesota's got nothing. Van's got Roussel. Arizona, no one to worry about. Colorado's no one to worry about.
Domi.
Chicago. Anaheim's got Kessler. Who else we got?
Corey
Perry. And that's it. The league's changing.
Edmonton.
There's no one does anything. They're like the politest team in the league.
Yeah, how's that working out for them?
Well, that's exactly what I mean. Like, you can mug their superstar. Nothing. There's no repercussion.
All right, I think we've about covered it. Do we want to say anything else about the game?
Good night. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. I mean, that was way more. Did not see any of that coming. By the way, that was a good job by you, Billy.
See,
I can
add to the conversation.
Throw out a topic and things have. I mean, seriously
Don't
though,
be so surprised.
Look, they got outplayed in the first period in an OV goal. And 16 saves by Braden Holtby made it look okay. They got outplayed in the second period, and a late John Carlson kind of fluky goal.
Off the crossbar and in, 2-2.
Made everything look okay. They were beat all game long, and then the third period, it just kind of all fell apart. The power plays, the penalties, the lost faceoffs. It's like the same mistakes we've seen a lot this year. Is what bit him in the ass in this game.
I mean, the face-off thing is crazy because statistically, that's like hard to do.
They lost 70% of their face-offs in this
game. That's really bad.
Didn't that just happen this week again? Like the other night, it happened.
It's been happening on and off all season. I mean, it's obviously it's a pattern. They're at the bottom of the league in the faceoff win percentage. This is, I think, something that they have to look long and hard at addressing.
Well, here's the problem.
But everyone talks about Beagle leaving. It's the rest of the team.
Dowd has almost, he's not in the lineup the last few games, but he's got almost identical faceoff percentage to Beagle. He's an over 50 guy or right at it all the time. The real problem is Evgeny Kuznetsov, who's always on the ice, who had 22 minutes of ice time tonight, 4 wins, 18 losses. Oh. This is happening all the time. He's getting spanked. Well, the other night, the Caps, which game? Last one or the game before, they had a winning record.
San Jose.
It was San Jose. They had a winning record against them. But a lot of games, it's these numbers, and it's possession time. And if you lose, you have a plan to apply pressure, especially when you're in the offensive zone. But it's kind of too much with Kuznetsov now. He's got to buckle down on this, or they're going to have to get Wilson in there while he's on the line and maybe have Wilson take all those faceoffs.
You just can't lose. What was it? Was it the Caps on a power play and they immediately lost the first faceoff, right? That was when we were all together in the room.
Yep.
And Billy just turned around and looked at us. He goes, lost the faceoff. Like, here's a chance. Lose the faceoff. Chase the puck.
And then they went back to the super slow slingshot tonight.
Because it's a killer. I mean, that's 30 seconds. It equates to about 30 seconds gone.
Well, when you cut up the ice that slow on the slingshot.
That's what I mean. That's a huge chunk of time based on
when you break out like they were and having some success a little bit ago. It's skate your ass off as fast as you can to get to the other end, and it's not an issue.
Listen, all I know is this team is way more dangerous when they're in the offensive zone. If they lose faceoffs, especially on the power play, they're not going to be in the offensive zone. And 2 + 2 = 4, man. It's very easy.
Simple math. Simple math. Losing 70% of your faceoffs, not good.
Not good, Bob.
So now the question has to be asked, Holtby or Copley against LA?
They're going Copley for sure.
Yeah, Copley. Yep.
I mean, I agree. That's the move. But you just wonder, because with every one of these games, and they talked about it. Carlson talked about it in the post-game interview.
Meaningful games now, and got to take home points.
These points are important. The Islanders are now 5 points out ahead of them. You don't want to lose sight of the first-place team. I know ultimately it's about getting in the playoffs, but when it's so bunched up like this...
Last year, we went through the totals before the show, right?
Right, so last year on February 18th, the Caps had played 58 games and had 73 points. The next night, they played their 59th game and won, so it's 75 points. This was the Caps' 59th game this season. They've got 71 points. So depending on what you want to do by the date, they're 2 points behind. By the amount of games through tomorrow, it'll be 4 points behind. But they're within shouting distance of where they were last year at this time.
2 points fewer, one more game played this year.
On the date.
Yeah, so I'm not panicking on anything with this. The one thing
The difference is that everything's tighter now, and they're losing sight of first place. Last year, they were 2 points back when they won their 59th game.
I still don't think that's you got to worry too much about that. Like, you're worrying about things that no one wins the Stanley Cup tonight. No one wins the division tonight. But you have to put it in perspective. They got to get their shit together. They got to start playing a lot better defensively. It's got to be not just every fourth or fifth game. The other night was great defense for about 50 minutes of the game. And then tonight, it was porous. And it was... I didn't like the style of play. I didn't like the look of... There was too many gaps in the coverage. It looked more like the Columbus game tonight when you looked at how they were playing defensively. And so I think Copley, you just throw him in there because it was a taxing night for Holtby. He had 39 shots on net, something like that. He had 39 shots, less than 5 goals. He had 78 shot attempts again. So that's tiring for the goaltender. And a lot of zone time side to side. I just think you got to go with the other guy tomorrow no matter what.
Yeah, I think it's Copley tomorrow and then Holtby the rest of the final two games. That would be my guess.
And that's probably the plan.
And I agree with Alan. I don't think they can worry about what the Islanders are doing right now or what the Blue Jackets are doing behind them. They have bigger fish to fry, and that's what's going on in with the team. The biggest thing for them is just to get, like Alan said, their shit straight.
Right. And that, I mean, right now they have 71. Columbus has got 69. And by the way, Columbus has got two games in hand now.
Columbus has what?
Two games in hand.
How many points?
69. They've got six. Really? This is what you did?
Hey, they tweeted it.
This is what you did?
Columbus tweeted it.
You went there?
Columbus put out the standings.
Really?
Yeah. And they said,
you made me do that?
You did it.
I can't believe you just did that.
I can't believe you did it. I can't believe you fell for it.
I didn't fall for it. I knew what you were doing. Was I supposed to not say anything? So, yeah, Columbus had 69. By the way, Pittsburgh's in the first wild card now. You know how many points Pittsburgh has now?
I don't know.
Here, read it.
There's a twagaggery of them.
They have 69, too. It's a close, tight.
Montreal.
69. Also 69.
Also 69. So everyone's got 69 now. So anyhow, you're so proud of yourself, Billy.
This worked out way better than I thought it would.
You're so proud. Yes, they have to focus on getting their shit together soon. But the difference between this year and last year is they were atop the division. They were right there. This year, it's all bunched up.
Worried about it.
That's something that we have to look at is there are teams closing in on them that have games in hand. You don't want to look up and be searching for your game, and then all of a sudden you're in the second wild card.
I guess.
And trying to hold on.
I mean, how do you look at it? Do you look at last year and say, wow, they have 75 points at this point? That was an impressive 75 points, or 73.
But they were leading the division.
No, I get it. But then you look at this year, and it's practically the same amount of games, and you know, they have 71 points, and it's like, oh, geez, oh, my God.
And everyone was saying the same thing last year. At this time last year, people forget, because all people remember is that big, shiny Stanley Cup. People forget how off the rails it got so many times last year. People forget Holtby at this time last year, Holtby had lost his job to Philip Grubauer. He was completely off the rails.
But again, I think right. And so
they lost that game in Chicago. For the trade deadline.
Yep, I think you look back and say, hey, man, like, this is where they were. This is not uncharted territory. Everything's fine. You know,
again, the only
I'm not going to worry about the standings, who's in front of them, who's behind them right now. What I'm more worried about is the state of the team, and is this team good enough to do anything in the playoffs? And last year, with this almost identical roster, they win the cup. But I don't think this team... Because last year we saw them kick some ass for quite a while, and then we saw them kind of take a deep dive. And I still think that the team has so many players who haven't done enough, and maybe that's where this trade deadline really is concerning as to what they need. And they need some more energy. There's just not enough energy in the bottom of the team. And it's if you have TJ Oshie out with an injury, you know, is it, you know, the everything's cryptic with the injuries, but. You know, he is a guy that was just coming on. I think he's got in since the break, the All-Star break, he's got 9 points in tonight's nine games. So 3 goals, 6 assists. And that's including the last game here against the Anaheim Ducks. And what happens if he's out for 2 weeks? Does that force Brian McClellan to have to do something for a guy that's more top six-ish? Or do they try to do this by committee? If Oshie's out, do they throw Burakovsky up there and finally give him a chance on the right wing wheel in the top six? Or do they throw Connolly there? And, you know, it's the bottom four, the fourth line is not providing enough energy for me. And no matter who they mix in those five guys, it's not consistent and it's not there enough. And a fourth line has to be about energy. When you look at the New York Islanders, they brought Martin back. They have Cizikas. They have Clutterbuck. That's a lot of energy, and they're putting numbers on the board. So they're not just going out on the ice and doing the old forecheck for 45 seconds. They're also getting some buckets.
And this is where GMs have to – it's a moving target. I mean, what is your plan on one day is no longer your plan when things develop leading up to, you know, February 25th. When we sat down with Ryan McClellan, they were in a much better spot. He said it would have to be player for player or salary for salary. And you're right. If TJ Oshie is more serious, if he could be out any – period of time, do they have to address that? Do they just have to address finding an energy guy to come in here? These are the decisions that a GM has to make day to day in this league and looking at a big picture. That's it's a tough gig.
But again, and it all could change again.
Yeah, they go out and they beat the Kings 7-1. Everyone feels great again.
Well, if they win the final three games of the road trip,
everyone feels great again.
Like, oh, they pulled together four wins on that trip. That's a successful trip, and we're fine. Everything's good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see. Again, every game, every point, very big this time of year. Game of Thrones update? Is this where we lose Alan?
Dragon time.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, I'm going through it live right now. So, yeah, Daenerys, she went after Jaime Lannister, who the last I saw, Jaime Lannister went in the water. I don't know what happened. I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's dead. No way Jaime Lannister goes out like that.
Well, maybe.
I don't think he goes out like that.
But dragons can do some damage, man.
Dragons can do... What's the dragon's name? You remember? I can never remember.
There's Drogon. I'm so nerdy.
It's so nerdy, I know.
It's Drogon and two other ones I don't remember. But yeah, that was a great scene. Just setting fire to things. For six seasons, when you saw the dragons for the first time, you're like, I want them to just blow things up.
Yeah.
And finally you got it.
And you got it. The way they literally torched and you just saw skeletons.
Yeah.
Gone. Yeah. So I've got...
Let's put Corey Perry in there.
I've got... And Brad Marchand. I've got three more episodes to go. And you promised me...
Is that it? Three more episodes
I'm through
to go?
Four. So...
Okay.
You promised me three more holy shit moments. Jaime Lannister going down. Is that one?
That whole battle... That whole fight. Thing was one.
Yeah, yeah. Jaime Lannister going down is one. Again, I don't believe he's dead. He got tackled. Why would he just go in the water and sink?
Again, we preface this. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
I said it. I gave a spoiler alert.
Okay.
But what's his buddy's name that I love?
Bronn.
He just tackled him. Why does he go in the water and just sink? I don't buy that. And his eyes were open. I don't buy that he's dead.
All right. We'll see if you're right.
I don't buy that he's dead.
In about an hour and 40 minutes.
That's correct. I'm going home to watch an episode. Eric _ Sean. Great podcast of my Capitals because he gives professional... an experienced analysis of games without the typical homer activity you get from team podcasts. These fellas even get a little loose with their language as well, giving a sense of just hanging out with sports fans. Thanks for the kind words from Eric _ Sean, who wrote that this past weekend. Keep writing the reviews. Keep subscribing, downloading, all those things. Help us get the word out about the Capitals Talk podcast, which I was told, I believe, we're like in the top five in the regions.
Can I promote all the regionals too?
Yeah.
So February 23rd, that is Saturday.
Big announcement, major announcement.
Big announcement, Saturday, February 23rd, the Caps Prom is being held at the Penn Quarter Sports Tavern. A very cool event held by a bunch of Caps fans. Caps Prom, dressed to the nines, I'm sure of it. We will be doing our Caps Talk podcast live from the Caps Prom at this Penn Quarter Sports Tavern.
Hell yeah.
After the Buffalo game, we will be doing our post-game show here in the studio. As soon as that is over, we are all getting into cars, hightailing it downtown. We will be there. 6:30 is when the podcast will begin. You can watch it live on the My Teams app. So if you don't have it, you should get it. We are playing a rock. They're going to be there from 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
So they're going to be so sauced up and ready
by the time
for
we
us.
Get there, it's going to be a good crowd. We expect to have some guests.
Can people get in now, or do you have to... tickets to that?
I believe you have to have tickets.
Okay, so if you don't have tickets, then you're going to have to download the My Teams app to watch this, because there could be shenanigans.
Only promise tomfoolery.
There could be shenanigans.
We're going to have to catch up.
Right. Where I've, in my experience, Alan, when offered a drink, has rarely, if ever, said no.
And the last time the three of us were all at the Penn Quarter Sports Tavern,
we were doing keg stands.
Yes.
And I'm this champ. I was a champ three times.
No.
At least the person I was... going against, a little beer bucket, Haley Scarupa. I was number one overall that day. She was number two, and she's half my size.
Good on her.
Credit to her.
Good on her. Absolutely.
I think she was cheating. I think she had one.
More info to come, but...
Saturday the 23rd starts at 6:30. You can stream it on the My Teams app, and for the Caps Prom people, get ready.
Buckle up.
We're coming in hot. All right, thanks to everyone tuning in. We've got another one right after the LA game late night on Monday night. For Ryan Billy, Alan May, I'm Rob Carlin. We'll talk to you then.
Carlson closing. Ovechkin fires. Score! Alex Ovechkin nails number 40.
And he joins an exclusive group with hitting goal number 40. It overpowered Miller and his blocker.